Christian friends, grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The tomb is empty. That's what we're celebrating today. Jesus' body is not lying moldering in a grave someplace. He came alive again and is alive forevermore. And the empty tomb of Jesus gives us hearts that are full of joy and thankfulness and peace and hope. Let me tell you a story. In 1992, the General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union died. His name was Leonid Brezhnev. He had been the leader of that country for many years, and it was, at that time, officially a communist or officially an atheist country. They had it as a part of their laws that there is no God. So here was the leader of that country who had died, and the vice president of the United States at that time was sent to represent our country at the state funeral. It happened to be the first President Bush while he was still the vice president before he got to be president. And he told about seeing something remarkable at that funeral. When the lid was about to be closed on the casket for the last time, our vice president saw Mrs. Brezhnev, the wife of the man who had died, reach down into the casket, and she made the sign of the cross on her husband's chest. Wow. Here he was, the leader of a government that officially denies that God even exists, but his wife had hope. She hoped her husband was wrong about God not existing. She hoped that there is life after death, and she hoped that Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again, might still have mercy on her husband. Well, the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope. It changes everything for us. Let's think about how the disciples felt on Good Friday. It was a long, dark, miserable day. Jesus was arrested in the middle of the night on Thursday. And then there were trials at the high priest's house, at Pilate's court, palace, at King Herod's palace, then back to Pilate's palace. And finally, after Jesus left Pilate's palace for the second time, he was carrying the cross. And Jesus by then had been scourged with a whip that was leather straps with bits of metal woven into it so that when it hit skin, it would just cut the skin open. Jesus left covered with deep bleeding cuts. Where were the disciples? Peter had followed Jesus at a distance to the high priest's palace. But then people at the palace started talking to Peter and saying, "Well, you must be a follower of this man, Jesus." And Peter's courage failed. Three times Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. And after the first time he said it, Peter heard a rooster crowing twice. And then Peter remembered that Jesus had predicted this. The Lord had said, "Before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter was so ashamed of himself and so full of grief and anguish that he went out and wept. Where were the other disciples? Well, we don't know. They were running and hiding. They were staying out of sight. They were fugitives in Jerusalem. Maybe when the crowds gathered along the streets to watch Jesus struggling through the streets carrying his cross, maybe the disciples blended into the crowds. If so, then they saw their Lord beaten and bloody, abused. Maybe some of them watched the cross from a distance, far away. We know that one of the disciples was close to the cross. That was John. John was standing there with Jesus' mother, Mary. And Jesus said to John, as Jesus hung on the cross, he said to Mary, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to John, "Behold your mother. She's your mother now. Take care of her." That was that was the message. But the other disciples, we don't know. By sundown on Friday, it was over. In the late afternoon, the body of Jesus was hastily taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they buried him in the tomb of Joseph, a new tomb he'd made for himself. The faithful women who had followed Jesus through his public ministry stayed close, and they watched where he was buried. But the sun was sinking, and as soon as the sun went down over the horizon, or under the horizon, Sabbath would begin. And no work could be done on the Sabbath day, especially not the defiling work of taking care of a dead body. So all they could do was watch as a great stone was rolled over the entrance to the tomb. Darkness fell on Jerusalem that Friday night, and it filled the souls of the disciples too. Can you imagine their tears? The post-traumatic stress that they had for watching Jesus with all of those wounds on his body from the whipping, the scourging. And their hopes were crushed for the kingdom of God that Jesus was to establish. It couldn't possibly happen now, they thought. I doubt very many of them slept that night, not very much anyway. And they had to stay out of sight because they were in danger too. Tomorrow, Saturday, they could find each other and they could talk and figure things out. And Saturday they got together, and everyone was safe except for Judas. Judas was the disciple who had sold Jesus out to his enemies for 30 pieces of silver. And then Judas felt so much guilt about that and felt so anguished about it that he went and hanged himself. Instead of repenting, he just ended his life. Well, the other disciples were gathered and having sad conversations, remembering what Jesus had said. Maybe they remembered that he said he would be crucified. I wonder if they remembered that he said he would rise from the dead on the third day. Even if they remembered that, did they dare to talk about it? They couldn't imagine how it could happen. Didn't seem possible. Most likely they said things to each other like this: did you see him? Did you see what they did to him? His body was torn apart. How did he stand it? John, you were at the cross. What did he say, John? Tell us what Jesus said on the cross. Their hearts were empty and broken and hopeless. That was Saturday. And after a long Saturday night, on Sunday, it all changed. First thing Sunday morning, some of the women went to the tomb. These were loyal, courageous women who wanted to give Jesus a better burial than he had gotten so quickly on Friday. But when they came to the tomb, they found the big stone, that huge stone that covered the opening, was already rolled away. The tomb was empty. One of the women then, Mary Magdalene, she quickly turned around and she was going to run and tell the disciples. The other women went into the tomb to look around. And as they were there, angels appeared to them. An angel said to them, "You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said he would. Go, tell his disciples." And the women did that. And when the disciples heard it, two of them, Peter and John, heard the news that the tomb was empty, and they went running. Well, if you're Peter, don't get in a foot race with John, because John is younger and faster. He got to the tomb first, and he looked in, and he saw it was empty. And then Peter came, and he looked into the tomb. In fact, he went right in, and then John went in too. And then they saw the burial cloth that had covered Jesus' body. They saw the cloth that had been wrapped around his head, and it was all carefully folded and set aside. Peter and John saw these things, and John says in his gospel that he believed Jesus was alive again. That was Sunday morning. That night, Sunday night, all the disciples were gathered in a locked room in Jerusalem, finding they were hiding out from the Jewish leaders who might want to find and hurt them. Two of their friends came to them, to that room. They said that Jesus had appeared to them. They had been walking to Emmaus, another village, and Jesus came and talked to them, and he showed them how what had happened to him was God's plan of salvation, revealed in the Scriptures. Jesus had died to atone for the sins of the world. He had risen again. He is alive. The stunned disciples had heard it now from the women and heard it from these two men. How could it be? How is it possible? What's going to happen next? And as they talked to themselves, among themselves, suddenly Jesus is standing in the room with them. And his first words to them are, "Peace be with you." What a wonderful message. Peace. Jesus wants us to have peace even though we ran away and left him. He wants us to have peace. And he's come to give us peace. Jesus invited them to look at the nails in his hands and his feet, to look at the mark of the spear in his side. Jesus ate some fish in front of them. He showed he's not a ghost. He's a body as well as a soul. And John says that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. It all turned around 180 degrees. Now their hearts were full of joy and hope and amazement. The tomb previously had been full and their hearts empty. Now the tomb was empty and their hearts are full. Jesus is back. Jesus, who said he would rise from the dead, had done it. He promised to be with them always and prepare a place in heaven for them. Now he had risen. If he could do that, he could keep all those promises. Nothing could stop him. Jesus, their master and their friend, is Almighty God. And so they had hope again for the future. Can you imagine what your life would be like if Jesus' body were still lying in a grave somewhere? Or decayed away to dust? What would you have to live for? What would you be looking forward to? Some people choose to live as though Jesus never lived at all or never died and rose again. They try to enjoy the pleasures of this life and this world and not think about what comes afterwards. And maybe for a while when you're young and healthy and you can work and play and sleep easily, maybe you can try to ignore things to come. But as you get older, it gets harder. And what happens when you or someone that you care about gets hurt or sick? What happens when you start to realize you're getting older? You can't run around like you used to anymore. You can't even remember things that you thought you'd never forget. The fact that Jesus is alive again gives us hope, even in these situations. He's the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, and he took away your sins and mine. He has forgiven us. He has reconciled you to God by the shedding of his blood and by dying for you. He has given you the assurance that you will live in heaven forever. Christ has done all of that and guaranteed it by rising from the dead. And he makes this life too richer. He speaks to you in his holy word. He feeds you in the Lord's Supper. He's with you always through the good times and the hard times of life. And because Jesus lives, you know that your loved ones who died trusting in him, they will rise again. In fact, their souls are with him already, but their bodies will rise. And you and they will be together again. Because he lives, you'll live forever. So for the woman, for the women at the tomb, and for the disciples, and for us, the tomb is empty. And so our hearts are full. Thanks be to God. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.